The woman stood up and looked around at the crowd. I couldn't understand why her movements were so slow. It seemed that I was operating in air while she occupied some more viscous medium. "He's about this high," I said. "You'd have noticed him. He's dressed as Batman. Did he come up these steps?"
"I'm sorry," she said in slow motion. "I haven't seen anything."
Each word took forever to form. I felt like waiting for the woman to engrave the sentence in stone. I was already halfway back down the steps before she finished speaking. Behind me, I heard the husband saying, "You could always go for the cheapest package tour and just use the flights. Then you can find some nicer accommodation once you're out there." I ran back down the steps, shouting Charlie's name. Somehow I arrived back at the place where Charlie had built his sandcastles. I kicked the structures apart, shouting his name. While parents and children looked on aghast, I looked for my son under piles of sand as little as 6 inches high. Of course I knew Charlie wasn't underneath. I knew, even as I was scrabbling away at anything that protruded. I found an old crisp packet, the broken wheel of a pushchair. My nails bled into a barely submerged history of tides. Little B and Lawrence stared at me wide-eyed, and I remember the last rational thought that went through my mind. He isn't on the sand, and he didn't go up the steps, so he must be in the river. Even as I thought it, I could feel the second stage of my mind shutting down. The panic simply rose up out of my chest to engulf me. I splashed out into the Thames, knee-high, then waist-high, staring down into the muddy brown water, screaming Charlie's name at the floating plastic bags and the startled gulls. I saw something under the water, lying on the muddy sludge. Underwater, distorted by ripples, it looked like a bone-white face. I reached down and grabbed for it. I lifted it up into the bright day. It was a cracked plastic mask from a tourist stand, with its snapped elastic showing how it had blown into the river. As I held it up, dripping muddy water, I realized that my phone had been in the hand I held the mask in. My phone was gone, somewhere. My life was gone, lost in the sand or the river. I stood in the water, holding a mask. I didn't know what to do now. I heard a whistling sound, and I looked down sharply. I understood that the breeze was whistling through the empty eye holes of the mask, and that is when I truly began to scream.